Let's pray together, shall we? Our God and our Father, we ask that you would open the eyes of our hearts, receive your word implanted. Your word is powerful. Your word is like the hammer that crushes the rock to pieces. And may it be implanted in us that we may lead a life pleasing to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our meditation this morning is based on the epistle lesson from Romans 6 that Harry just read. I want to focus on what Paul is talking about when he says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought forth from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of God." Then he says in verse 18, "And having been set free from sin, you have become slaves of righteousness." But you know what? I turn the page to Romans 7, and Paul says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold as a slave to sin." Well, Paul, which is it? Am I free from sin or a slave to it? Paul uses the imagery of slavery here. When you are a slave, you obey your master. You don't really have a choice. Paul is saying that you are either a slave to sin or to righteousness through Jesus Christ. In other words, everybody is a slave to something. And we hear a lot about identity in our culture today. What is your identity? Or who do you identify as? Right? We have social identities, such as particular groups that are divided racially or ethnically. Then there's gender identity, where someone identifies as transgender or non-binary. We've all heard that. Or sexual identity, where someone identifies as gay or bisexual. And now there's even digital identity, where people identify themselves online through social media and digital communities. And you see, because there is no absolute truth today, and everything is relative, one of the features of our culture is that our identity is often viewed as something that's fluid. It can be explored, reshaped, redone. I can identify as to whoever I want, rather than the traits that God has given you in creation. And the main emphasis today is on the autonomy of the self, our self-definition, which really is stronger in our culture today than it has been in the past. You know, the truth is, everybody's a slave to something, whether it's self, material possessions, prestige, lust, power, pride, you name it. We all serve something. And Paul makes this point in Romans 6. He too insists that there's no such thing as unfettered freedom. We are all enslaved to someone or something. I remember Bob Dylan's 1979 song, "Gotta Serve Somebody." And he says in the opening lyrics, "You may be ambassador to England or France. You may be like to gamble or you may like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with long string pearls. Yes, indeed, you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody." And there's a lot of truth to what Dylan is saying. Martin Luther makes a similar point in his explanation of the first commandment in his large catechism. There he reminds us of our bondage, of our slavery, our inescapable compulsion to always have a God. It's the very nature of human life to have a God, to someone or something that we give our trust to, that gives us meaning and purpose in life. We have no choice to live any other way. Luther says we are incurably idolatrous. It's foolish to think that anyone is an agnostic or atheist. There's no such thing. Everybody has a God that they place their trust in and that they serve. We have to have a God, Luther says, and our gods enslave us. Our gods demand that we worship and appease them, that they give us the pleasure we need. Whether it's that God of money or our job, the family, or even our body, we are never free from its demands. There's really no other way of being a human being. As Dylan says, you're going to have to serve somebody. You see, sin, and Paul is making this point in both Romans chapter 6 and chapter 7, sin is a powerful force, and left unchecked can destroy people's lives. Sin separates us and alienates us from God. Paul says in Ephesians that we were all at one time dead in our trespasses and sins, without hope and without God in the world. But yet what Paul is saying in our text in Romans here is that you have now been set free from sin and become slaves to righteousness. Paul's talking about a different identity, one that is in Christ, where we are free from the bondage of sin. And you know what? Really, to understand Paul's text, therefore not let not sin reign in your mortal body, when he says therefore, that means there's something before that. So we need to go to verses 2 through 6 in Romans. Paul says, are we to continue in sin that grace should abound? No, by no means. How can you who have died to sin still live in it? Don't you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God, we too might walk in newness of life. Now, sometimes Paul is a little bit hard to understand. So let me translate. When you were baptized, you were connected to Christ's death and resurrection. God claimed you for his very own possession. God took all your sin through Jesus and nailed it to the cross, and by his resurrection has given you new life through the Holy Spirit and made you a new person. As Paul says in Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new person. The old has passed away, the new has come. That's your identity as a Christian. You are God's very own child claimed by him. And you know what? Thanks be to God that we don't have to make ourselves pure or cleanse us of our sin. Can't do it. That's why in Jesus you're washed pure and spotless in the waters of baptism, where you were united with Christ and given his righteousness. So now that's your identity, a new relationship with Christ. And we now have the Holy Spirit who empowers us to fight sin in our lives. Now comes the reality. If you don't struggle with sin, then something's wrong. Because it's when we struggle with sin and feel our sins and confess them to receive God's complete forgiveness, that's when sin no longer reigns supreme. For us as Christians, the daily struggle against sin is a daily death to our old nature that still is with us until that time when we receive our new bodies in the resurrection. So we are daily called to put that to death and let the new man rise up. So there's this, as Martin Luther says, there's this tension in us, in each and every one of us as a Christian. Someone in the world who does not know Christ, they can only do one thing, and that's sin. But not you, brothers and sisters. Because now you have a choice. Because God has claimed you and claimed you to be a slave to righteousness. You see, the Holy Spirit does not permit sin to have dominion in our lives, to gain the upper hand so that we carry it out. Instead, we recognize sin and we wrestle with it, repressing it by God's power, not our own, because we can't do it. And I'm here to tell you this morning, you cannot live the Christian life in your own power. It's God's mercy and grace given to you in your baptism that enables you to become a slave of righteousness. There's a story of a man who once received a presidential pardon for a crime he committed. So the warden came, told him that you're pardoned, you're free to go. So the man left the prison and was out and free. But then he came back to the prison and he said to the warden, I want to go sit in my cell. The warden said, what do you mean, are you nuts? Don't you know you were pardoned? You're free. Why do you want to come back and sit in your prison cell? The man answered, well, I guess it's just a habit I can't shake. That's where I've been for so many years. Just like this man, after we've been set free from Christ, sometimes we often want to crawl back into that prison cell of sin. I know I do. Just in that nature. And that's where that struggle comes, you know. And right? Am I right? Anyone who has struggled with a repeated or specific sin knows in the failure and sorrow that come from failure to defeat it. We find ourselves trying harder to overcome our sin, but then we find ourselves falling into another round of habitual sin and feel distinctly dirty. And then carry around a load of guilt because we've crawled back into that prison cell. But here's the good news. Hear this. Just as we could not come to faith on our own, we can't imagine ourselves trying to strong enough, being strong, overcome our sin. Trying harder is not going to conquer the temptation we struggle with. That's why we can't live the Christian life on our own. And that's why Paul says in Romans 7, and here is an apostle who had a vision, he had revelations, he did miracles. He says, what a wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? And then he says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's Jesus who gives us the power and grace to not let sin have the upper hand in our lives. It's Jesus who has taken away our sin. It's Jesus who frees us from the captivity and says, come out of that prison cell. Come on again. I know you want to go back in a bit here. I'm bringing you out. It's his power. It's not our own. You know, there's a great irony that comes with being set free in Jesus Christ. We're still enslaved. We're still owned. But instead of being enslaved to sin, we are enslaved to righteousness. Isn't that neat? God's righteousness himself is given to you. That's what Luther meant when he said, you are 100% sinner and 100% saint at the same time. How can that be possible? It is because of God claiming you in baptism. And being owned by God actually means freedom. By faith, we find ourselves serving righteousness. We find ourselves wanting to do what's right and just and moral, because not because we have to, but because we want to. Because the Holy Spirit is prompting us in faith to be righteous, to be merciful, to have compassion, to give people hope in a world that's dying. And Martin Luther describes it well in the opening words of his famous book on the freedom of the Christian. I encourage you to get a copy. He says, I am perfectly free, subject to no one. At the same time, I'm a slave, subject to everyone. In other words, we're free in Christ, because of his death and resurrection, that I'm a slave to my neighbor, I serve my neighbor, I give myself to my neighbor, and my wife or my husband or family in service to others. Isn't that neat? Dylan was right. Everybody's got to serve somebody. But because of the cross and empty tomb, you are free in Jesus Christ. You no longer need to be enslaved to your own selfish wants and desires. You do not have to go back into that prison cell and sit, because it's just a habit. You are free to be slaves of Jesus Christ and servants of your neighbors. What a blessed freedom that is. Oh, I rejoice in that. Brothers and sisters, because of what Jesus has done, sin is no longer your master. You are now free to offer yourself as a living sacrifice to God, holy and pleasing to Him. And that's what Paul means when he says, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Amen. Now may the peace of God with